Just a quick vote of confidence and good luck to the Regina Red Sox. We were talking about earlier in the week, they beat the Saskatoon Berries. It was a great contest between those two ball clubs. Red Sox came out victorious, so they are playing in the final of the Western Canadian Baseball League. That is happening tonight, game one tonight in Regina against Sylvan Lake Gulls. Game two tomorrow, game three Saturday if necessary. So cheering our Saskatchewan representative in the final on in that case there. Well, when we think about the trade war that we've got going on with the United States, you and I have spent a lot of time. I can't even count the hours that we've spent talking about this trade war and ultimately Donald Trump's frustrations with Canada. It started off, he called the state of emergency because of what he said were weak borders, fentanyl across the border, immigration problems across the border, and there's been real strong attempts to try and bolster that up. Defense spending was something that President Trump pointed to when it comes to Canada as a vulnerability. We've seen that shored up. One of the other things that he has referred to, he has never used the term supply management, but he is critical of what he says, keep in mind, what he says that Canada is doing to its dairy farmers, its poultry farmers, its egg producers in the United States. So essentially what he's referring to is the supply management system in Canada. I do not profess to be an expert in it. I am a consumer of dairy products, poultry products, and eggs, for sure. And I like the fact that in the reading that I've done, Canada's supply management system was set up and has been in place for decades, designed to stabilize prices, protect farmers from market swings, and ultimately protect the Canadian market from outside infiltration. So the intention behind it, there's no doubt, was there to protect those in the industry. Now, has it outlived its shelf life? Again, I'm not an expert on it. We're always looking for people that can give us perspective on this. An article caught my eye. I often will be just flipping through online. McDonnell Laurier Institute, one of the web pages that I tend to check on a regular basis. And there was an article there called Sacred Cash Cows, cash in brackets, Sacred Cash Cows, The Urgent Need to Eliminate Supply Management. Then I go on to see the author of that article is Stuart Smythe, who's a professor in the Department of Agriculture and Resource Economics at the University of Saskatchewan. I thought, okay, here's a fella that I wouldn't mind getting on our program so we could talk a little bit about it. And that is who we have joining us live this morning is Professor Stuart Smythe. Stuart, thanks so much for taking the call.
My pleasure. Good morning, Evan.
So, your article, you refer in your article, I see one line that says, outdated, flawed, and costly supply management system. So, if I hear the word outdated, it makes me think that one time, it had a best before date. Did it?
Yeah, so supply management was set up for the three sectors you mentioned a little over 50 years ago, back in the early 1970s. And at that time, there was a country's used tariffs more indiscriminately. There was a lack of international rules around trade and tariffs. There was considerably less information in terms of commodity prices. So there was very wild price fluctuations, even from one year to the next, and even within a calendar year. So a lot of countries, including Canada, Europe had these, Australia, New Zealand, number of places around the world set up supply management systems whereby government would establish a quota, and then each sector would manage that quota in sort of deciding, how much milk was going to be produced, or how many dozens of eggs, or how many kilograms of chicken would be produced. And then that would help to stabilize that price volatility. So when these were set up, a little over 50 years ago, there was, they did meet a need in those sectors of agriculture.
So what has happened, Stuart, that has now, well, maybe we won't even bring Donald Trump into this, but has people scratching their head, you included, to say, has it outlived its usefulness?
Yeah, so we have much better rules at the international level now that tariffs are you know, a lot of them have been defined as illegal, and countries have removed these impacts on pricing. We've got much better information and communication abilities, so in terms of international commodity price stability. And the technology has advanced significantly, but and most other countries, Australia has gone away from supply management, Europe has gone, Canada's really like one of the remote holdouts in terms of not updating its policy. And what it's doing is it's subsidizing these small, inefficient farms that were set up in the 70s, early 80s, and we're just rewarding inefficient business practices.
So can you describe or define that a little bit more? What about them it would be inefficient, and how would, if we move to a model that didn't have supply management, how would that impact it?
Yeah, so one of the biggest areas where we see a significant lack of competition, if you will, or inefficiencies is in a couple of areas. So one is in herd size. So as an example, the average herd size in Quebec is just over 80 cows. The average herd size in the three prairie provinces is about 185 cows. So we're more than twice as large. So farmers out here are far more efficient in terms of how much can be produced through an operation, but these farmers are constrained by simply not being able to get quota to produce higher volumes. They're artificially restricted. So then this has spillover benefits in terms of the value-added processing. So when you go, and here's a good example. When you go to and buy some gourmet cheeses, how many of those options are Canadian? Virtually none. All of the premium cheeses that we want to serve for events and these kind of things, they're predominantly European or from other parts of the world. Very few are Canadian. So it's having a huge impact on job creation, value-added processing, simply because supply management constrains the amount of milk that's produced.
We're stuck in a box, is essentially
yes.
What I'm saying. Stuart Smythe is my guest, professor in the Department of Agriculture, Resource Economics at the University of Saskatchewan. Well, I'm curious why the industries of dairy, eggs, and poultry used this system back some 50 years ago. Industry like beef did not. Was there any reason? Was it just a lobby effort by a group of producers?
Yeah, that would, there was definitely fewer chicken, poultry, dairy producers compared to beef or pork producers. And a lot of the industry was concentrated in Quebec and Ontario, where they did have political support to put these in place and implement them across Canada, whereas most of the beef and a lot of the pork production was done in Western Canada. And just, I think, the different political circumstances around that, the beef producers simply said, we prefer to be less regulated, less governed, and are willing to conduct business according to commodity prices.
Right. You mentioned the efficiency of operations. I've got an agriculture background. I'm always very protective of agriculture, appreciate the work they do. You make it sound, Stuart, like Western Canadian, and if we use dairy as an example, Western Canadian dairy farms are actually being hurt by supply management because it's protective of some of these older, smaller farms that got in on it from Eastern Canada. Is that a fair assessment, fair statement?
Yeah, exactly, Evan. So, I teach a lot of farm kids from Saskatchewan, Alberta, some from Manitoba, and every year there's a number of kids that come from dairy farms, and we do have conversations about the policies around supply management, and it's I see students from both sides. Students come from dairy farms that say no, the supply management system really helps us, really protects us, and then other ones are frustrated saying it's a real constraint. I did hear from a friend of mine that he'd been having a conversation with a dairy producer in the southern BC interior. This goes back a little ways. But this guy in the BC interior said if supply management was removed, he could expand his operation and send a tanker truck of milk a day to Seattle.
Is that right?
So these are the kind of constraints that, you know, are being imposed on our, you know, we could be more successful, we could be more innovative if supply management was, you know, removed or reduced over time.
What about the notion, Stuart, though, of protecting Canadian products? So I'm a big believer in buying Canadian where possible, and I could call myself a hypocrite because I'm sure there's a few products that are in my fridge or in my cupboard that are not Canadian. But we've seen this approach in the last few months for sure. So we don't want to lose milk, eggs, and chicken from Canada from our freezers, from our fridges. Do we risk that if we scrap supply management?
That's certainly what the supply management sector will say. They'll say, "Oh, if we're not protected, we can't compete with the United States." And that's been a long-standing argument. I mean, if you recall any of the discussions around the free trade agreement in the 1988 election, here's a good example. The Canadian wine industry said, look, we can't compete. We need to be protected. If we have to compete on the international market, the California wineries will mean there will be no more Canadian wine industry. Well, here we are 35 years later, and Canadian wineries are winning international awards. Competition was the best thing for them. So, no, I think that Canadian farmers are very innovative, very efficient, and if we remove these constraints, it will allow them an opportunity to. Some farmers may exit the industry, you know, ones that are, you know, within, say, 5 or 10 years of retiring, and they'll take the opportunity to transition out, which happens in all sectors of agriculture. But I think it's those younger farmers, the ones that are, you know, have investment opportunities, want to grow and expand and see ideas to say, here's how we can improve what we're doing and provide additional products or partner with processors to enable greater cheese production or any other byproducts. So I think there's a tremendous opportunity for the industry to expand and Canadians to continue supporting Canadian farmers.
So we're almost at the end of our time here, Stuart. Stuart Smythe is my guest from the University of Saskatchewan. I read your article I mentioned in the McDonnell Laurier Institute. If the government had the political will to do this, which I would suggest is so far not showing to be the case, is there a blueprint for what that might look like, the steps that would have to be taken?
Yeah, I don't think this could be done like with the snap of the fingers, right? We just can't wake up one day and say, hey, it's gone, because these quotas have value. And so lots of younger farmers are using the value of that quota to secure operating lines of credit or, you know, as collateral for their business operations. So we couldn't just end supply management overnight. It would require, you know, possibly a decade long transition. 10 years is a very common time frame for removing or the elimination of tariffs or protection measures through international trade agreements. Canada's done this a number of times. And so over a 10-year period, you could allocate, you know, 10% of the current quota and make it freely available. And possibly the government would have to step in and provide a bit of a financial backstop so that, you know, the financial institutions don't step in and say, hey, you know, we were using your quota as collateral, but now it's got less value. So the government may have to provide a bit of an interim financial backstop in those instances to ensure that financial institutions don't sort of call loans and close lines of credit down overnight.
Stuart, this has been a really good chat. I appreciate you not only giving us a bit of a history lesson and understanding, but your perspective on it as well. Thanks for the time today.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you for reaching out, Evan.
Stuart Smythe is a professor in the Department of Agriculture, Resource Economics, University of Saskatchewan. Supply management, is it? You know, I've got lots of friends in agriculture, in the industry, of friends who are in the poultry business, who are in the ag industry, who run dairy farms. And so, you know, this is one of those things where, as a country, I love that we do what we can to protect our own. Is there a way it can happen without it affecting, for example, increased costs at the grocery store, which some say supply management does, even though that wasn't the original intent? The original intent, of course, to stabilize prices and protect farmers from market swings. Have we outlived the supply management system in our country? We'll continue the conversation. Lots of thoughts rolling in on the text line here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Some pretty cool pictures coming in on the text line. Thanks to everyone who is sharing their storm snaps from last night. Lots of heavy clouds, winds, thunder and lightning. We've even got a couple of videos that have come through. Some fairly heavy rain, trees down in parts of the province. That storm that blew through the province last night and covered a big chunk of Saskatchewan definitely left an impact. And not a great time for it either, as farmers are getting set to harvest right around the corner. And sadly, some hail in parts came with that storm last night. The discussion on supply management is an interesting one for me. You will never find a moment that our house doesn't have a carton of milk in the fridge, a carton of eggs in the fridge, and chicken. Those are staples. I grew up. they were staples in my life growing up, and they're staples there now. And so I am interested in protecting our Canadian producers 100%. And I'm not jumping up and interested in having U.S. milk here as an option. At the same time, is there a way that we can do that without supply management? Does it have to go hand in hand? Because I know there are people on the text line saying, Carol, for example, from Regina said, you know, number one, we want to protect the industry. But number two, there's a food safety issue here as well. We have different health standards, which is true in Canada than they do in the United States. Many people are pointing that out, and we don't want our market flooded with potentially food that could have safety issues as a result of different regulations. So there's lots to consider here. Some people are saying, though, that we would not sacrifice the quality of our Canadian-produced products by getting rid of or dismantling or making changes to the current supply management that we have now. From misery to happiness to me. I'm on my way. From misery to happiness to me. Welcome to the show. A windy Thursday morning. Some parts of the province, wind gusting already closer to 60 km. So maybe this is just the tail end of what we saw push through the province last night. High winds. In fact, I'm seeing a few people on the text line saying upwards of 90 to 100 kilometers an hour in parts of the province. There was hail. There was lightning and thunder. Obviously, intense rain. We saw that. I know parts of Saskatoon experienced a bit of flooding again last night. So thank you to everyone that has been sharing on the text line everything from how much rain you got to pictures, some great pictures that really show that weather system that moved through last night. So lots of fields will be wet. I'm guessing the fields were wet out in Cormann Park at 9 o'clock this morning, which is where Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre was. So it's interesting to me, Pierre Poilievre has got his by-election happening on Monday. You would expect he's going to be busy out door knocking and doing whatever he needs to do, talking with people in that riding ahead of the election. But we found out late yesterday he's making a stop in Saskatchewan, and that stop happened this morning. Lara Fominoff, who is our senior reporter from our CKOM newsroom, was out there with other reporters. Was the field muddy?
It was all a little bit muddy today.
I guess so. So what did we hear from Pierre Poilievre?
We heard a little bit of everything from Pierre Poilievre. He came to 16 Grains Farm in Corman Park, as you mentioned, and the big announcement after, you know, briefly mentioning wildfires across the country and in Saskatchewan, temporary foreign workers and such. He said that the Conservative Party is embarking on a campaign to push back against what are apparently going to be some fuel taxes or taxes related to electric vehicles, and they're related to diesel trucks and such coming up in January. So there may be some additional taxes for large trucks and such and electric vehicles coming up in January. Mm-hmm. Now, we pushed him because he's in Saskatchewan. Mm-hmm. The Chinese tariffs are taking effect today.
Today, right.
And we were standing in the middle of a muddy, you know, parking lot with threshers and combines and huge trucks and in front of a canola field. So we said, well, do you have anything to say about canola and about the tariffs and what's happening here? Mm-hmm. And he said, basically, there was a lot of name calling, a lot of, Prime Minister Mark Carney has sort of doesn't care about canola farmers in Saskatchewan, is not prepared to do anything substantial to remove, help get rid of those tariffs or to push back against China on those tariffs. I mean, he suggested that there, you know, are loans being given to the Chinese government for ferries in British Columbia and such, but that the Canadian government is really not prepared to do anything to help canola farmers across the prairies. Mm. And that was basically the gist of it.
So is the tie-in, Laura, that I know we had heard yesterday, once it was announced that Pierre Poilievre was here, that it was going to be a discussion about the electric vehicle mandate. So mm-hmm. is it a tie that the electric vehicle mandate and the tariffs we put on Chinese electric vehicles is really what has precipitated these canola tariffs? Is that the tie-in that happened?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, that it's precipitated them. And that they're not going anywhere, right? So the Canadian government isn't planning on changing its electric vehicle tariffs against China, and the mandates here in Canada with, you know, phasing out gas vehicles and such by a certain time, 2035 or what have you. So that can adversely affect farmers in Saskatchewan and the way they do business.
Right. Did Pierre Poilievre make a specific request for assistance for farmers? I know, for example, Scott Moe has mm-hmm. said, Premier Moe has said, look, the federal government has stepped up for the automobile industry, for steel and aluminum, and lately for lumber. Premier Moe is asking for some sort of a package. Did Poilievre make the same ask of the feds?
He made not in and of himself. It was not part of the announcements that he made. He was asked by Saskatoon media, you know, should that happen? And he said, basically, you know, the tariffs, what's coming in from the tariffs on canola farms, that should be given back to canola farmers. Same way that there is a steel, you know, steel workers in Eastern Canada are being helped with financial aid, with programs, with education, that sort of thing. That should be extended to canola farmers here. Mm-hmm.
So maybe this is a weird question, and I'm probably asking you a question you don't know the answer to, but maybe somebody asked it.
Yeah.
I understand what the point of the news conference was, but I'm still a bit shocked that it happened in Saskatchewan.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, it's anytime we can have the spotlight on our province and our people in our province, it's good. But he's running in a very rural by-election that is actually going to the polls on Monday. Was it asked of him why this announcement didn't happen there?
Not exactly in that way, but he was asked, you know, whether he believes he's going to win the election, the by-election in Alberta on Monday. We were actually limited to 5 questions. We were told by his communications people, you can only ask 5 questions. We'd been waiting outside in the cold and wind for more than an hour for him. And we're told 5 questions. That's it. No more. And one of the questions was, do you believe that you'll win in the by-election? And he kind of didn't answer it directly, but said, you know, there needs to be a national voice in that riding. And he believes he's that person to take Mark Carney to task, the Prime Minister and the Liberal Party and such. Didn't say whether, you know, why he was in Saskatchewan in particular, and why he wasn't, you know, 4 days before. Mm-hmm. Out there.
Okay. Laura, I appreciate you stopping by. Thanks for, I know you're warming up. You said it was a cool stand out there this morning. So thanks for popping into the studio.
Of course, anytime.
Senior reporter Laura Fominoff from our CKOM newsroom. So yeah, it's interesting. We have reached out to Pierre Poilievre asking if he would be able to come on the show. We'd love to have him on the show. We've had him on a couple of times over the last year and a half. I am hopeful, and I'm going to use that word, hopeful, that we will be able to set something up for tomorrow morning. So we're still working on that, but it would be great to have the federal conservative leader on the program and maybe take a bit of a deep dive into a couple of these different things. There's lots of nuances that you could bring up with Pierre Poilievre, and it is my hope that we will have that opportunity tomorrow morning. So we'll keep you posted on that. Okay, back to supply management. Lots of different people weighing in on the text line. Again, I want to thank Stuart Smythe, who joined our program. He's from the Department of Agriculture and Resource Economics at the University of Saskatchewan. He clearly feels as if supply management has outlived its usefulness and is one person saying it's time to move past the supply management system. There are a number of people, Cal from Oxbow, for example, who said, you know, the people that are worried about us being able to compete should supply management go away basically don't realize and are underestimating Canada. Cal says Canada can compete in all industries, and I tend to agree. We've got strong industries here. There are people, Monica from Fawston, for example, one of a few, and I'm just summarizing some of the text, saying that they feel dropping supply management in Canada could possibly cancel the tariffs. I don't know that I would be that confident that simply saying, okay, we're getting rid of this means that we ink a deal. I'm going to guess it will be viewed as positively by President Trump. Does it get us over the finish line? I feel like there's so much at play here. I mentioned the fact that we had a number of people talking about the safety aspect of food and what regulation, food regulation in Canada looks like as compared to the United States. And many people will say that is what supply management does for us, or it's one of many things. Randy from Saskatoon liked what he heard from Stuart, felt like he was right on the money and appreciated that. So lots of people weighing in on that. The other conversation that I started this morning that continues to ripple through the text line is the notion of the longest ballot. I'm saying election interference. Some people are saying absolutely not. It's not election interference. I'm going to take a break. We'll come back and maybe we'll dig into some of your thoughts in the text. And you're welcome to call in if you would like to join the conversation that way. The longest ballot committee. They, of course, have 214 names on the by-election ballot in the by-election that is happening on Monday in Alberta. Is it election interference? Is it a constitutional right? Or is it somewhere in the middle? 1-877-332-8255. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Well, I am really appreciating all of the texts that are coming through the line. We got a number of calls I want to get to as well. Supply management, something that lots of people have an opinion on. I'm fairly new to the game. I don't have a deep understanding. I mean, as we talk about it more and it becomes, I would say, more topical in the news, we all learn more about it. But it's one of those things that existed and I didn't pay a lot of attention to for most of my life. I want to jump on the phone line and grab a few callers. I'm going to start with Joe in Regina. Supply management, Joe, your thoughts?
Well, it's an archaic system. Basically, it's a legalized monopoly set up so that a select few farmers basically get to to, you know, set whatever prices they want. And we'll use, and I'm going to apologize about this for the milk because I know that's a big advertisement component for your radio station. But for example, like with milk, do you have an idea what the quota is per kg of milk sold off of a farm?
I wouldn't have a clue.
I'm just asking it rhetorically.
Yeah.
Do you know what it is?
No.
Do you want to take a wild guess what that number is? And your callers, you know, you're going to be baffled by why something like this is completely legal.
Go ahead.
Per kilogram of milk produced. Now, like I had looked into it, you know, how would a new producer, so such as myself, you know, get into the market and be able to sell milk? Per cow, she produces about 10 kgs of milk a day, which is about average, or at least for some cattle breeds. That's about $500,000 just for the license to sell that milk. And you're going to tell me how is that fair for other producers? So I think you're looking at it from a quota system, from the wrong perspective over here, of looking at it as a trade component between Canada and the United States. It's within Canada that this is impeding other producers from sort of getting into that market. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, essentially, now, like, that's where Stuart was going, right? My guess.
That's exactly the point, right? But I don't think people understand the numbers here that are being thrown. I'm not sure if he mentioned it earlier, kind of missed the component of his talk earlier. But so, like, the quota prices, like, to get into it, yeah, you can pay into it. But, for example, like, egg production, if you're above 299 birds in Saskatchewan, it's $150,000 just for the license to sell those eggs. For meat birds, it's in that ballpark as well, too. Now, the nice thing about the egg producers and chicken producers is that they have a component of the quota system that allows for small farm operations to sort of operate and do their thing, and it's great. But for milk, it's exactly zero.
Mm. Are you a dairy farmer, Joe?
Oh, God, no.
No, okay.
I have a small farm operation. I have a small farm operation just north of Regina.
Gotcha.
But, and it's one thing, like, we talk about when we're doing our tours and then sort of explaining the system and everything like that. It's how it impedes small producers such as myself, right, from getting into that market. Mm. Like, there's a big market for people that want fresh produce and that type of thing. But for certain components, unless you pony up that $500,000, $750,000, there's no way that you're going to get into it. Now, these bigger producers that are selling milk and selling some of these other, you know, eggs and chicken and that type of thing, well, they have the money because they're fairly large producers, right?
Yeah. Those are big numbers we're talking for sure. Joel, I appreciate you calling in. There's a text on the text line from Dr. Karen Schween Lardner. She says, I'm a scientist at the University of Saskatchewan who focuses on poultry management and welfare. I spend a lot of time on the welfare advisory boards in the United States. For those people who are concerned about animal welfare or how an animal lives, our supply management system provides so many protections for the birds. I will only purchase Canadian for this reason, along with better food safety. I was in at a U.S. farm about a month ago, almost 2 million birds on one vertically integrated farm. If a disease hits, wow, our smaller farms could not compete with that. I am fully in support of supply management. So there you have a scientist at the University of Saskatchewan with a different perspective in support of supply management. And that safety issue comes up time and time again. Have I got time for one more call? Sure. I want to grab the call from Archie in Saskatoon. Archie, you're not dating yourself, but I understand you remember a time before supply management existed.
Yeah, that's correct. And what I remember is a shortage of milk and eggs every winter. And the difference being that in the states and the southern states anyway, they don't have a problem with the cold weather that we have, and chickens don't lay eggs when it's cold, and cows, until they had a steady enough source of income, dairy farmers weren't able to build barns, you know, that would facilitate calving in different times of the year and stuff to have a steady supply of milk. Mm-hmm.
So your point, Archie, is that supply management has taken care of those issues, right? It's provide that security for farmers.
It has, but it's also, but there's a big problem with the quota system. I started up a dairy myself.
Okay.
And I was in it for several years.
Okay.
And yeah, I something has to be done about the quota system, because it's just like with the taxis. People have more money tied up in quota than they do in their other assets.
Right.
And it just is adding to the cost of the milk.
It's I'm always appreciative of hearing from people that are in the industry. So, Archie, thank you for that. This discussion not going anywhere. Lots of thoughts and pros and cons. And, you know, at the end of the day, supply management likely not going anywhere. There hasn't been a political will for some time to move it. But a good topic of discussion, and I appreciate all the perspectives on it here. We step away from it now, but it doesn't mean it won't come back here as a topic on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.